Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, Calvary Church. Helen Burns here from Relate Church down the street. We love you. We love your pastor so much. They have been such a blessing to us. Thank you, Steve and Susan, and for all that you are doing through your beautiful church there, Calvary Church, in this beautiful city of Surrey. I'm so glad we get to labor together for the cause of Christ, and I'm honored to come today and to stand on your platform, as it were, and share just from my heart some of the things that the Spirit of God has been teaching us, especially in this season. What a season, hey? How are you? Are you all doing well? Are you thriving in this season? Are you wilting in this season? Are you, as many are calling it, languishing in this season? Well, I pray that you're flourishing. And I want to speak into this whole thought of building flourishing relationships. John, my husband John, and I are passionate about building God's church and about building healthy relationships in our marriages, in our families, in our friendship, in our church community, in our neighborhood, in our city, in our world. It is important to us. And today, I just want to dig in a little deeper when it comes to thriving relationships, not just hanging in there, but actually thriving relationships. And I pray that when we're done looking at some of these scriptures today and some of the thoughts that I want to share with you, that there will be a stirring in your heart to go further in relationships. I like to tell people, you don't have enough friends. I know you think you do, and you think, well, I can't even get with the ones that I have in my life right now. And so we live with this really small, narrow view of what friendships and relationships look like. But I want to encourage you today to throw open the doors of your heart and your expectation and look for where God is building relationships into your life and what you can do to cause them to thrive in this season. You know, relationships are the very joy of life. And yes, I know they are also the pain of life. But I know God intends us to have flourishing, healthy relationships. To thrive means to be healthy, flourishing, increasing, blossoming, to grow well, and to become healthier. That is a picture of flourishing. And the Bible has a lot to say about relationships. And so we might as well look at the very best manual ever written on the subject of flourishing relationships, and that is none other than the Word of God. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus said this. He said, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Think of this very awe-inspiring truth. The way we love each other is a manifestation, proof, living proof that we are disciples of Jesus. And I would dare say that this season has tested it to the max and has challenged our thinking, our relationships. We have become, it's been very tested. Now we say what hasn't been tested really can't be trusted. But if you've had a few relationship tests in this season, don't think it's strange. You, along with the rest of the world, have had some relationship tests. But here Jesus says that by the way we love one another, it is a declaration, a manifestation, a proving of the love we have for him will be seen in how we love one another. So if we could get really good at building flourishing relationships, I believe we would see a significant change in this world, our personal relationship world, and in this big, beautiful world, though complicated, that God has called us to occupy until he comes back. If we'd get great at relationships, we would see lives change, transformed. We would see people loved through very dark places. I love this quote from Henry Nouwen. He says, "When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. And this certainly has been a time that we have needed to actually live out what Jesus is inviting us to do through relationship. We would experience freedom. Beautiful freedom comes in context of relationships. We would become those conduits and agents of freedom in the lives of one another. I love that thought, and I think of how God has brought key relationships into my life, and He always knows who I need and when I need them in my life to help me become who He's called me to be. If I were the enemy, if I were Satan, I would do whatever I could do to cause rift and separation and stress, disagreement between two agents of change that are called to change the world for Jesus' sake. The enemy hates our God-appointed, God-anointed relationships, our marriages, our families, our friendships. The enemy opposes them. He has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come, as it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, to give us life, and that more abundantly. If I were the enemy, I would do whatever I could to cause mistrust and to cause competition, whatever I could do to cause division and separation in relationships. We are under attack. Don't be deceived. We are certainly under attack, and I've never known it more clearly than I have known it in this past 18 months or so. Something diabolical is going on planet Earth, and the enemy is seeking to divide and conquer. So we, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to rise up with wisdom and with understanding and with clarity at what God's plan is and how to annihilate the strategy of the enemy. We need to have flourishing, life-giving relationships, not contentious, gossipy, suspicious relationships, but life-giving, beautiful kingdom relationships, because we are, in fact, kingdom subjects. We need to wake up and, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, strategize with one heart and with one mind for kingdom's sake, and doing it the Jesus way. Here in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 2, and I want to read verse 3 as well. In the Passion Translation, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul as he's addressing the church at Philippi. He says, "So I am asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and a united love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, or they will only harm your cherished unity." Oh, as I was reading this just right now, be free from your pride-filled opinions, or they will only harm your cherished unity. As I'm reading that, I was just mindful of doing my devotions last week, and as I was sitting there, and I wish I could cite the right scripture to you right now. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. It sounds very proverbial. And it talks about wherever there is dissension, where there is disagreement, there is pride at the root of it. And when I read that, I felt, ouch, hallelujah. Oh God, you're teaching me, because I have had a lot of arguments with people recently. I'm not proud to admit it, not lots of people, but certain people, because we disagree on a lot of things currently. You know, there's just a lot happening in this world, and there's opinions about this, about vaccinations, this about masks, this about gathering, this about everything. And wherever you are on that spectrum of what you believe, if you're not careful, pride rises up, arguments ensue. And so often I've recognized, this is my brother or sister. and yet I'm being contentious with them. I'm frustrated with them, and I feel the Holy Spirit just say, zip it, Helen. Let's talk about something that brings unity and brings a spirit of love. It's not that I don't love these people, but I'm very frustrated with these people. And if I'm not careful, the enemy leads us down his plan and his path of division and of strife. And you know what? We can't afford that right now. It's okay to have your thoughts and your convictions, but if they turn into arguments and disagreement, the root there is always going to be pride. And pride is going to be the downfall of each and every one of us if we value our opinions, our thoughts, higher than loving our brothers and sisters. Maybe you need to say, ouch, hallelujah. I know I need to say it one more time. Ouch, hallelujah. I know God has been dealing with my heart. But I want to ask you some questions right now and to ponder just some thoughts around these questions that are, I think, identifiable places in our life where we recognize God has brought someone into our life for a very distinct purpose and has brought us to a place that we are today. And I know that on the other side of every relationship, there's a purpose and a plan of God that he wants to do with those God-ordained relationships. So here's a few questions I'd like to ask you, starting here. If you were to create a map of the journey of your life, where would you mark the presence of healthy relationship investments and deposit that were put into your life that have shaped the relationship landscape of your life? Where are the people that God, or at what season, or how did God bring those people into your life? I can think of many people that God has brought into my life at just the right time, that shaped the trajectory of my life, that God knew that I needed this person to open up something on the inside of me that would lead me in a new pathway that God has called me to walk in. That's why I always say, you need more friends, because God wants to do miracles in and through your life. And so much of it will be introduced through the relationships that God brings into your life. Here's another question. Who has come into your world and indelibly marked you with their gift of love, which has helped shape the person that you have become? Who came in and indelibly marked your life with their gift of love that helped you become the person that you are today? These words, "You did not get here on your own, Helen," marked my life many years ago. I don't know how long ago, I'm going to say about 20 years ago. I was standing on the platform of a very, very large church in Australia, and I was getting ready to teach their Bible college. And in this Bible college, many, many students had come from around the world. And as I was stepping onto the platform, and I was feeling the weight of that moment of just speaking to these hungry students that were going to one day graduate Bible college and be dispersed into the world, I felt the weight of that which I was privileged to carry in that moment. And as I stepped onto the platform, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit so clearly say to me, "Helen, you did not get here on your own." And I thought of the people that had helped shape my life to that moment on that platform in Australia. In that moment, I thought of my beautiful Oma, my Oma Taves, and my Oma Balser, who I have never met in person but have heard her stories and her legacy so often. I thought of my mom and my father. In that moment, I just thought of people who had invested into my life deeply. People who really didn't stand on platforms or stand behind a pulpit and teach, but people who taught with their lives and had shaped me with their gift of love. They had shaped me with their example. They had prayed for me and carried me. And now I was standing on this platform and speaking to this Bible college group. I had been on that platform teaching over the weekend and teaching at a significant women's conference. And it was a very, like I said, I don't know how else to say it, but a weighty sense of what I was carrying. But as I stepped on into these places, I realized so many people had helped carry me to where I was in that moment. And I felt the gratitude of legacy, the gratitude of investment, the gratitude of people who saw for me more than I could see for myself. They literally helped me to flourish in life. And the impartation of their lives into my life shaped me to the woman that I am today. And that was a very marked moment where I took a look at people. And in the last 20 years, and certainly before that, there have been many others that have come into my life at a very marked moment, made a deposit, an investment into my life, and have carried me to the place I am today. I could not be and would not be who I am without the investment of their lives. And I think these are really important questions to ask yourself. Who has shaped my life? Who has deposited love and confidence and words of commitment and strength and encouragement into your life? Not only do we need them to invest into our life, we are called to do the same and invest that into the lives of others. And this past season has been a challenging season. We all know that. It has been more difficult to connect in a way that we've loved to connect in the past while, and things are changing, but still, it has been a challenging season, and we've had to be creative in how we connect. And yet I've seen so many people pull away and isolate, and I want to encourage you, we can't afford that ever. And we have to do whatever we can to stay connected, to keep growing in relationship. And so what are we doing right now with intention that is helping us make those deposits and helping ourselves grow and helping the people in our lives grow, that we will have flourishing relationships, not just I made it. I just don't want to come out of this season with a, well, we made it. That's not the goal. The goal is, who have you become in a challenging season? And because it's been a challenge, we have to be more intentional. And God, our master designer, knew what he was doing when he created us each with an innate longing to belong. We are literally, as his creation, hardwired for connection. Even our neurophysiology. Sit down with my husband for any period of time, and he will talk about this, the wonder of how God hardwired us, our very brain and how it functions with our body, soul, and spirit. Our neurophysiology was created, hardwired for connection. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says it's not good for a man to be alone. And it wasn't just that Adam needed a wife. I think that God had way more in that narrative than that. Obviously, God created and brought Adam and Eve together, and out of that has come the human race. It's an amazing, amazing thought. But really, when God said it is not good that man should be alone, it wasn't because there was something fundamentally wrong with God's creation when he created Adam. But Adam hadn't yet had that partner, someone in his life where he could give his life away and have that connection with, because we were not created for alone. We were created for relationship. The way that I love to define community and friendship is to hold another person in your heart, to hold them in your heart. And great relationships won't just happen. They are never accidental. They're always going to be intentional. It's not just accidental or coincidental, but it is intentionality that is needed to build those relationships. And I just want to talk about four key areas that I have discovered. I have a passion for relationships. The four thoughts that I'm going to share with you, I think work across the board in every relationship. They work in a friendship relationship. They work in a marital relationship. They work in a business setting. They work in a church setting. They work in really every element of life. And some are obviously going to look a little bit different than others, but I think the crux of what I'm about to share is essential in every flourishing relationship. And so here's a few of the qualities. I'm just going to share four of them, and it's not an exhaustive list, but I think these are pretty important. What are the character qualities that I want in my life, but also to see in the lives of those that I'm building relationship with? And the first one is, this character quality is so critical to me, is that each relationship that is going to flourish has to have people in it, two people in it, that are personally invested. It takes two people to make a great relationship, and one person can choose to blow it up all on their own, and I have seen that happen. It takes two. It takes two people willing to invest deeply and personally into the relationship. I see it as a roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes to make the relationship work. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes effort. And there will be seasons in your life that this particular relationship might feel really hard. But that's where it's tested. Like I said, a relationship that hasn't been tested really can't be trusted. It's not just for the happy, sunshiny days. It is for those hard days, and we're all going to have them. But are we the kind of friend that shows up and is invested in the happiest of days and the most challenging days? I think when we're that kind of a friend, we can build a relationship that is flourishing. Look at this season. It hasn't been easy. Building church, I have prayed for pastors more than anyone else on planet Earth, it feels like right now. Because it's been hard being a pastor in this season. A time where you don't know if people are with you. Where did they go? What are they thinking? There's everything flying. But thank God for the people that have stayed personally invested, that didn't just go by the wayside when it got a little challenging, but have stayed engaged. And though engagement looks different, they are engaged. They are personally invested. And so for all of you watching today and all of you gathering today, well done. Thank you for going the distance and not giving up. I think these are times that call for a heart in the hard seasons, a stronger than ever personal investment. I like to think of friendship or relationship. Some people come for a season, and some come for a reason, and others come for a lifetime. Not everyone's going to be a lifer, but that season or that reason, or if it's for a lifetime, give it all you've got. Invest your heart and be your very best so that they can be their very best, because we learn and grow together. Secondly, a thing that is so critical, and this is so simple, but it's so important, is a really flourishing relationship is made up of people that see me. They see me for who I am. And they don't just see me for what I do or what I can do for them, but they actually see me. In other words, they're not trying to fix me, even though there's much that could change, but they actually lean in close and are there for me all the time. I have never been more grateful for the people that have stayed close in some of the challenging seasons. I know we've walked through some really big things in this last little season, or big season. But I love the ones that have checked in on my heart and checked in to see how I'm doing, leaned in. And I know that's something John and I have done more than ever with people in our world too. That we don't just do a little check-in and think, okay, duty done, but we actually check in, ask them how they're doing, make space and time to be able to have the conversations that maybe aren't the easiest all the time, but are so important in this season. They literally go beyond the surface, pull back the veil, if you like, and look at a person's heart. I am so grateful for people that see me. Because people flourish where they're accepted, where they're loved. Not because they did everything perfectly, but because there just is an investment of heart, investment of relationship. And the next one I wrote down is they're truth tellers, full of grace. I love this scripture here in John chapter 1 and 17. It says, "The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. I need people who tell me the truth, but I need them to tell me the truth with the Spirit of grace. I need people who love me enough to go past the surface and tell me what I need to hear, another ouch hallelujah perhaps, where there is a, they notice something that needs to be dealt with, and so they have the courage to tell me the truth. That's why I said earlier, we come into freedom in relationships. You shall know the truth, it says in John chapter 8, and the truth shall set you free. But that truth needs to be told in a way that it's wrapped with grace. If you just get a whole lot of truth, it's like the law. Do this, do that, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and we may be. And I want to hear where I'm not doing things right, where I'm failing. I want someone to tell me the truth. You know, if I have spinach in my teeth, I want someone to say, you know, you've got spinach in your teeth, or Helen, you've got a wrong spirit or a wrong attitude. But I want to hear it in a way that's protecting me. Grace would be that someone told me there's spinach in my teeth, not when 10 people at the table are all looking at the spinach, but would say it in a way where I could deal with it in a more, you know, dignified way. And I think that's what grace and truth looks like. Tell people the truth. Be honest. I think true friends tell the truth to each other, but they always wrap it up in grace, which means I know you've failed. I know you've messed up. I know you want to get better at this, but I'm going to stand with you and hold you with grace, not with judgment. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, in the Passion Translation, you can trust a friend who wounds you with his honesty, but your enemy's pretended flattery comes with insincerity. And my last thought is they call destiny out of me. A flourishing friendship, a relationship that is growing healthily, will draw destiny out of me. There are people who have seen in me what I can't see in myself. And I think of so many things I'm doing today. There were voices that spoke into my life and said, Helen, you can do this. I see this in you. And called me forward in that which God has called me to do. And I'm so grateful for the word of God that has so often confirmed or shown me what to do. But then along comes a voice, like a prophetic voice, just declaring what God's word says and coming alongside that and breathing life into that word for me. We need those trusted prophetic voices in our life. And truly, God has brought so many into my life. And I hope that I have been that for others as well. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are the product of his hand, God's hand. Heaven's poetry etched on lives, created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. Isn't that beautiful? God has great things planned for us. But I wonder how often it has been someone that's come alongside and just breathed life upon your life through just declaring what God's word and putting an amen on top of that. So let's go back to this thought again. Who are the people who have journeyed alongside you, who have helped you get to where you are today? Who has carved out time and space for your heart? Who has consistently shaped you? Because again, there is this thought, you did not get here on your own. There are those that have come along. I think about your pastors who have carved out this community, Calvary Church. What a beautiful church community you are. You have legacy, you have longevity, and you have a beautiful future ahead of you. And so you get to be a part of that. You are a part of it, a beautiful story. And yet God is entrusting you to carry this story forward and bring so much more life into the future of Calvary Church, but also your life and the community right where you live. I want to encourage you to thank God for them and maybe pick up the phone or write a note or send a text and say, thank you, I'm really grateful for you. You have been an important part of my journey and I'm grateful that we've been able to journey together. Don't close your lips to somebody you've opened your heart to. Go ahead and share with them what they mean to you. I say this so often, love is a heart that moves. You know, one day the curtain of this life will draw closed and we are not going to live forever. We will live forever, but we won't live forever there will be a day that there is the end of this life as we know it on earth. And so there is much to do. There is much to labor for. There are relationships to build. There are lives to reach out to. And I want to encourage you to make the most of every moment and not just look at this season as I'm biding my time until things get back to normal. You know, I don't think we're going back to normal. I kind of don't want to go back to normal. I want to go into the new, to follow God into the future and what He is doing. And I want to be a part of it. God, use my one life to be a part of the story that you are writing. I want to be a part of building what is on God's heart. And I know what's on God's heart more than anything is His family, His kingdom, relationships, and what we can do to bring a living Jesus to a dying world. One more Henry Nouwen quote, if I could. He writes, "Community is first and foremost a gift of the Holy Spirit, not built upon mutual compatibility, shared affection, or common interests, but upon having received the same divine breath, having been given a heart set aflame by the same divine fire, and having been embraced by the same divine love. It is the God within who brings us into communion with each other and makes us one. It consoles us with the revelation that God indeed does want to create amongst us the unity that we most long for." Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Calvary Church and the beautiful family gathered here. God, I thank you for the work that you are doing in every life, in every family, in every relationship. And God, I ask that you would build your church, that you would bring us together in a spirit of unity and in love, and that God, we would have the courage to build flourishing relationships, kingdom relationships, ones that where we will not be pulled out by difference or opinion or pride, but ones where we will come together, lay aside our thoughts and our plans for your plans, God. I thank you that you are doing a beautiful, abiding work. And we honor you and we love you today and we bless your holy name. Thank you for each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. It's been such an honor to be with you today. And I pray that you have the most glorious week. Bless you.